Hey, mujeres. My name is Gladys Godinez, host of the Courageous Mujer podcast. This season, me siento muy excited to celebrate Hispanic Heritage Month by focusing on our cultura, our identity, and our accomplishments by getting to know six wonderful Latinas throughout the state. Courageous Mujer Podcast celebrates Hispanic Heritage Month, is sponsored by Humanities Nebraska, Dr. Katie Weitz, and United by Culture Media, an affiliate of the Lexington Community Foundation. We know that we're just scratching the surface, and we will continue to embrace, support, and celebrate each and every single one of you. From Scotts Bluff to Lincoln, y desde North Platte a Omaha. Feliz mes de la herencia hispana. Buenos dias, everyone. My name is Gladys Godinez, host of Courageous Mujer Podcast. Welcome. I am in the studio here in North Platte, and I'm super excited to be here with Beatriz Reyna. Welcome y bienvenida. I'm so excited that you're here.
Are you kidding? It's been a while, you know, since we've been together. So yeah, thank you. And yeah, welcome. This is my home away from home.
I know. So, and we're very grateful. It's very heartwarming to be able to be in your space and be able to get to know you.
Thank you. And first of all, before we begin, I just want to say congratulations on this project. I've been very impressed with what I've seen so far. And even the stories, you know, that have come before me and the guests that you've had on, it's very inspiring. So congratulations to you and Chris.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Chris is behind the scenes, as you know, he's our editor, producer, everything at this moment and helping us out. And I definitely have the network of these courageous women, including yourself. And we've been, you know, some people would say blessed, lucky, just really happy that we have had individuals like yourself to be able to, and willing to share your stories. We have been noticing just that gap. You know, we need to uplift, we need to celebrate, and we need to get to know each other and know that we're not alone. And that's definitely one of our goals here with Courageous Mujer Podcast. So I'm very excited and grateful that you think that this is a worthwhile program and for joining us today.
Yeah. And, you know, going back again, you know, so far, the two women that you've had on, it's just amazing how we're somehow all connected. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like, I see myself in every one of them that you've had so far. And again, you know, trailblazers, you know, can't forget about that. You know, like Yolanda, trailblazer, you know, for the Latino community, you know, here in the state of Nebraska. So
100%. And I know you're a journalist and this is a switch for us, right? For you to get questioned by me and then not questioning me. Because we have been in the same area together where you have come to Lexington and you have been able to ask me questions. So I think it's really cool that I get to switch it up on you today.
Oh boy.
I know. Let's not get in trouble. So
no me vas a hacer llorar.
No vamos a llorar tampoco. I will keep it inside, but I know that our stories are very powerful and it does get emotional because we don't hear them or because we don't talk about them as often, you know? So I understand where those tears are growing from, right? Just those emotions inside. But before we truly get started, I want to ask you your ethnic identity and your pronouns, because as you know, Courageous Mujer Podcast is trying to be our best, doing our best to be able to be inclusive. So if you can let me know your ethnic identity and your pronouns, por favor.
Okay. So I am Mexican American, born and raised here in Nebraska. So, and I honestly refer myself to Latina more than Hispana, which is interesting.
Yeah. And they also say it's generational, you know, like we're growing into these identities and we're understanding them more and trying to dig in into where do I fit in. And Valeria and I had a quick conversation about that, but I relate because I also call myself Latina more than Hispana. Mm-hmm. So we named Hispanic Heritage Month after like the proclamation, the national federal proclamation, but it'd be Hispanic, Latinx, Latine. I think there's other words out there that, you know, that we can definitely name the celebration, but it is interesting how we all just switch it up a little bit in regards to identities and how we grow into our own identity.
And you know, it's interesting too. So speaking of the word Hispanic, you know, I think it's more common, you know, in when you're speaking in Espanol, it's Hispano, right? Versus you would say Latino, but I don't know. I just think it depends like who you're talking to.
Right, right. Y luego Mexicanos, like our Mexican neighbors, they feel very much soy Mexicano y tengo poder y vengo con de mis raíces, you know, mm-hmm. and some Guatemaltecos feel the same way. Mm-hmm. I've had women share that they're Mexican and they're very proud of it. So it, again, we're just trying to figure it all out. But the reason why I ask is just to be respectful and mindful of mm-hmm. how you want to identify yourself mm-hmm. as here and in future conversations, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Okay. Pues con el chisme. Okay. I also like to start with something fun. And we talked a little bit about telenovelas and we talked about series, but let's talk about música. Why? I know you say you love music. That's one of your passions. Tell me a little bit more about how it may heal you, maybe how it motivates you. Why music is your go-to?
I don't know. It's just, I feel like it's my therapy, you know, whether I'm running, whether I'm at home, you know, it's just, I don't know. And, you know, and growing up, there was always music around.
Yeah.
So I think that has a lot to do with it. Mm. And if you ask me, and people are surprised by this, but it doesn't matter if I'm at home, if I'm visiting a larger city, well, guess what I'm listening to?
Yeah.
Mexican music.
Yeah.
That's just who I am. So
that side of you, that's beautiful. What I have noticed about my love of music is I grew up in California, so Inglewood, and I grew up in a community where there's a large African-American or Black population. Mm. So I fell in love with not only oldies, Mexican music, but I also fell in love with R&B and hip hop. So it is very interesting how eclectic we can be también with our mm-hmm. música, right? Mm-hmm. And how it brings you home. Like yeah. you said, if you're traveling, you listen to Mexican music because you feel safer, or maybe it makes you feel safer mm-hmm. as you're traveling.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, when I told you I was in LA last month. And so when I was on the plane, the partner sitting next to me, he's from, I want to say Honduras. His family's from Honduras or Guatemala. I don't remember. But he asked me, he's like, what music do you listen to? And I told him, Mexican music.
Yeah.
And then he's like, you're kidding. I'm like, no, no. So he was surprised by that. So right. Yeah.
And there's different types of Mexican music. So mm-hmm. let's dig deeper. Oh, what are boy. You referring to when you're talking about Mexican music or one of your favorite artists?
Okay. So, again, going way back to when I was a child, infant, Los Bukis.
Yes.
Yeah. Grew up with them. So. As a matter of fact, that's what we went to go see last month. So they're touring right now.
Yeah.
So them, Los Temerarios, mm-hmm. Bronco, even going way back in the day, Los Freddys, Muecas, Caminantes.
Oh my gosh. Total playlist from like the 90s, right?
Con 80s, Nuestros 90s. Padres,
80s, yeah. 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And oh my gosh. Like I said, you know, and, you know, going back, you know, to Los Bukis, you know, they reunited after 25 years. And so the lead singer, Marco Antonio Solis, mm-hmm. The question that he gets, how is it you are still relevant today?
Yeah.
And it's because it gets passed on from generation to generation. So
it's so endless too, the music that he plays and how beautiful it is with his group, obviously Los Bukis. So very cool. Thank you for taking me back.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's just nice to hear those songs from back in the day when you grew up. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Very cool. So let's talk about when you grew up. You're Nebraskan, born and raised here in North Platte.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, how was little Beatriz when you were young in North Platte? How was your experience as a Mexican American?
It was kind of difficult because I felt like we were the minority back then. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There was a time period where I felt like, you were kind of looked upon a little different, but then again, you still embraced your roots.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good experience. I had great teachers, you know, growing up. So, but yeah.
Any specific teacher? We like to name drop. So if you have any specific teacher that you want to name drop, please, this is the space and time.
Mrs. Folker, she was great in sixth grade, always encouraged me, you know, to keep going in high school. My English teacher, unfortunately, he passed away. Mr. Hammond was really great. So.
And what did they do to help little Beatriz feel welcomed or at the very least seen?
They, you know, they just encouraged me, you know, to keep going. They were always there. You know, if I ever had a question or anything like that, they were always willing to help.
And then you mentioned your family. So do you want to talk a little bit about your family? How did they get to North Platte? Or were they born and raised here as well?
No, my family is actually from Aguascalientes, Mexico.
Okay.
So they immigrated to the United States back in the late 70s. I have two older brothers and they also immigrate. They were about 2 years old, 1 and 2 years old at the time. But going back, my grandfather was a bracero. Mm. So back in the 50s and 60s, you know, and he still talks about the stories, how he would wait at the border to get contracted. And so he was working out in the fields in Arizona, California, Utah. And then I had a great, great uncle that lived here in North Platte who worked for the railroad. And so then he told my grandfather, come, there's work here. So that's how we ended up here.
Look at that. Yeah. Isn't that a beautiful story? And we're talking 40s, 50s when your grandpa was coming. What's your grandpa's name?
Miguel Valdez.
Miguel Valdez. Mm-hmm. And who's the pioneer that got here first? Your uncle?
Bruno Martinez.
Bruno Martinez. Well, that's awesome. That's the beginning of your story here in North Platte, mm-hmm. and the impact that you have made within our community and our state. That's really awesome to just touch that a little bit and seek out that history, no?
Yeah. So like I said, you know, it's like we're all interconnected, you know, mm-hmm. somehow. So yeah. Like I mentioned, you know, the roots run deep here in the state of Nebraska and, you know, and it's, there's always a person responsible for why you are here or how you ended up here. You know what I mean?
Yeah. For us, it was mi tía. So my aunt, okay. She moved to Lexington first and then she told my family in California, hey, come here. There's work as well. So it is interesting how our family dynamics, you know, it's somebody that knows how this community is or what, where the opportunities are. And then we follow those opportunities for our betterment, right? Mm-hmm. Of our community and our family, of course. Very cool. So little and pre-Beatriz, right? And then we go to high school. What are your thoughts in high school?
Oh boy.
Yeah.
I was a little kind of off and on, you know, it's like still trying to decide what I wanted to do. So going back when you mentioned, you know, as far as my schooling goes, mm-hmm. I love to write. And so whenever I came to a writing assignment, you know, teacher would be like, oh, just write, you know, like a short story. My stories would be pages and pages. They would actually be like little mini novels.
Yes.
So, but, you know, and again, you know, my teachers, you know, encourage that, you know, to continue writing. So, yeah. And then, Univision, I mean, you growing up in Lexington, you guys had Univision before North Platte did. And so when Univision came on, when we finally got that here in North Platte, I remember watching Primer Impacto, you know, it's in my biography.
Yeah.
You know, I just said, one day I want to do that. So, and what better way, you know, I loved writing. So here we go.
Well, we should say, you should start it right now. Say, bienvenidos a Primer Impacto to the camera. You should totally do it. That's how I wanted to start it. Cause I feel like that in this set, I just wanted to say, bienvenidos a Primer Impacto. Cause it's so ingrained in our head, right? That show. Yeah. And then también las noticias right after. Y luego la telenovela, right after. Very cool. So then you saw a reflection of somebody that looked like you and you want to be that. Well, yeah. That's very cool. And you got encouraged to do it.
Yes.
You found somebody that encouraged
you. Yes. You know, and then again, you know, they're my English teacher, you know, in junior, in 11th grade, you know, he encouraged that too. So
that's very cool.
Yeah.
So you knew what you were going into when you graduated high school. Yep. Did you get the support from your family? Were they like, yes, you got this. You can be the next Primer Impacto anchor. We can do this.
Yeah. My mom was always very encouraging.
That's cool.
Very encouraging. And so, yeah, anyway, so I'm not in Primer Impacto, but I'm here, you know, in North Platte, you know, doing what I love,
yes.
You know, and I asked myself, you know, have, and not had this job, what would I be doing? I don't know, Gladys. I really don't know.
Well, if your passion is to tell stories, right? Yep. Because that's what you've been doing, then I think in some way or form, you would be telling a story.
Right. Right. Yeah. And then, you know, I like helping people, you know, like yourself, you like to help people. And this is just another way of doing that because you are giving a voice to the voiceless. So combine the two, I mean, perfect combination, yes, right?
Right. So, and you do it on a daily basis. I only do it on Saturdays at noon, Central Standard Time.
No, but no, I
but
mean,
you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
You also, I know, look, I'm deflecting because we can't take compliments, right? So yeah, thank you. But I also see you every day. And I also see you telling stories and very important stories. And we talked about that here earlier. So I do want to dig into that. But let's go to college with you. Where did you go?
Okay. So I did my first 2 years at Mid Plains Community College. Okay. And then I took a semester off and then I transferred to UNK. And there again, I mean, who knew? I mean, I think you and I may have ran into each other or maybe knew of each other, but you know, it's just, again, amazing how it kind of just all comes full circle.
Right. Right. Yeah. Because we were at UNK during the same time. We both graduated in 2000. I'm sorry if I gave away dates here, but we both graduated in 2000 and then we both went to UNK eventually, right? And you took the community college route. Are you okay if we dig in a little bit about sure. the about that? I have to be honest. Both my principal and my vice principal were walking me down the hallway. Y me dijeron, Gladys, you should try or think about going to community college. And at that time, I felt like a diss. You know what I'm saying? Like they're dismissing me because I don't, maybe I'm not up to standards to university level. And then I was like, no, I'm going to go to university, you know, trying to prove them wrong. But now at this age, I realize why they said what they said. You know what I'm saying? Can you give us the experience or why you chose the community college route? And then you transferred to UNK.
Honestly, financial reasons. I wanted to pay for my first 2 years of college. And so I knew that the first 2 years of college was going to be, you know, mainly focused on your generals. Mm-hmm. So, and when you go to university, you're already going to be taking generals your first years. So, you know, to me, it just made perfect sense. And I would definitely encourage anyone to go that route because I had a really positive experience at Mid Plains Community College.
And that's here in North Platte, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it makes sense. It makes sense to me if you were thinking about going to college and you may or may not have the finances, but it just, income wise, if there's a class that charges $200 per credit versus $400 per credit, there is a real smart sense in that decision of going to a community college and then to a university level. Specifically, you're talking about income and the ability to afford it. And then what did you go to school for?
At UNK?
Yeah.
For broadcast journalism.
And you received your associate's?
Associate of Arts degree.
Oh, look at that.
Yep. Yeah. So everything transferred, you know, again, you know, that's another thing too, yes. is that your studies or your classes will transfer. So, and so why not do it at home too? You know, I was already home. And like I said, I knew that my first 2 years were, you're going to be focusing on your general. So
mm-hmm. it makes sense.
It? Yeah.
It made sense. And now they have the option of literally doing it at home, you know, online
right.
school.
Right.
So that's an option as yeah. well. Very cool. So we were at UNK together. You went for journalism. How was your experience in college? We talked a little bit about your experience as a Mexican-American here growing up in college. Can you talk a little bit about that experience?
It was great.
You loved it.
I loved it. You know, sometimes I wish I could go back.
Yeah.
Don't you?
At times. It depends on the stage of my college years yeah. because I took approximately 6 years.
Oh my goodness.
To graduate because of, you know, different things that happened during my 6 years. But there were some years that I definitely enjoyed the full experience of college life.
Yeah. And so, you know, if I'm completely honest with you, when I went to UNK, I was just surprised to see how many Latinos were going to school. I was like, this is awesome.
Yes.
Yes. You know, and then especially, you know, having, gosh, remind me again, it's been a long time. I get them confused with, because I'm part of the National Association of Broadcast Journalists. Mm-hmm. And so the organization that we were a part of.
Yes. Hispanic Student Association.
There you go.
Yes.
Yes. And to have that organization be representative for us was amazing.
Right.
And there again, you know, name dropping.
Right.
Gato, what's his name?
Juan Guzman.
Juan Guzman. Yeah. I mean, amazing guy. And then, you know, you guys starting Ladies Mix, that was amazing.
Thank you. Well, in your experience yourself, did you, in addition to Hispanic Student Association, did you join any other clubs, or what pushed you through college that made it such a great experience?
You know, again, I think I felt at home. I felt comfortable there. Yeah, you know, again, I think being part of that that organization in college, I was also part of Students in Mass Media, mm-hmm. too. And interestingly enough, over the spring, I believe, I ended up interviewing one of my teachers. One of my journalism teachers who taught media law and who was also in charge of Students in Mass Media.
Very so cool.
Yeah.
So full circle.
It is. It absolutely yes. is. It's just weird, you know, how everything just somehow comes full circle.
Yeah. And then looking at school then and looking at school now, you mentioned how many Hispanics were at the college then. Have you seen the transformation now on campus at UNK? There's such a big,
I can only imagine.
Yeah. Yeah. So it just keeps growing. The Latino and Mexican American and Hispanic communities just continues to grow here in the state of Nebraska and throughout the United States. So it's really cool to see the transformation, see the support that they're getting, and that we continue to get throughout college, you know, because it's needed, or else what else, you know, what could happen?
Right.
But you graduated with a journalism mm-hmm. degree. And then did you come straight here?
Was this I did. Yeah. I was like, okay, I have my degree. Now what? So I was like, ponerte a trabajar. So,
right. We got to get to work.
But I will though admit though, there was a time period where I did almost kind of decide to go into education.
Ah.
Simply because of, you know, the experience, you know, back in elementary school, Spanish was my first language. And so, you know, I remember, you know, getting help, you know, on how to speak English. And so I think it was more than anything, you know what the struggle was. And right. so you want to help.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Relate. You can relate to.
You can. Yeah, absolutely.
This kiddos.
And so that almost did happen. It was, I think I had one semester left.
To do education.
Well, one semester left of my broadcasting degree. Oh. So it was like towards the end. And it's like, do you really want to do this route?
Yeah.
So, yeah. But, you know, again, you know, it just goes to show, you know, how, you know, people have influenced you along the way.
Right. Right.
So.
So did you have any media influencers in your life to help you with your media career while you were at UNK?
You know, I really didn't have any mentors. I mean, Dr. Keith Terry, you know, he was my advisor. Mm-hmm. He was the one that always encouraged me to keep going.
Yeah.
And so as a matter of fact, he was the one that encouraged me to apply for jobs. And so, yeah.
Yeah.
But as far as, you know, outside, you know, reporters or anchors, no, it was almost like, because I was the first one that went to college. And so I kind of felt like I had to find my own way.
Right. The trailblazer, señorita.
You know what I mean? But it's like, you know, it's so, yeah.
And you did.
Were you like that too? I mean, were you the first one in your family?
I was the first one in my family to graduate from college. I was a little lost. So I also went into the education piece. I did get a scholarship to go into education. And then I went to political science. I fell in love with political science. Dr. Will Aviles was such a big mentor in my life. And he taught me a lot about what was happening in Latin America and Central America and other places, you know, and it just opened my eyes a little bit more. So I fell in love with political science and I followed that. So that's my love, right? Political science and work like that. So yeah, it's interesting finding that, but also not seeing yourself outside in the career path that you want, or finding a mentor within that career path. So you came here to North Platte, born, raised, you started in this channel. How did you feel starting out here being one, if not only, right? Mexican-American news anchor, reporter, journalist, photographer. I mean, your titles keep going as to how much you've done for this channel and this community.
Thank you. Thank you very much. You know, straight out of college, you're in your early 20s, it was almost like surreal. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It was still trying to find your way. Still trying to find who you are. Yeah. And so, but yeah, it took some time. You know, but here we are.
Yeah. Well, any pointers for young media entrepreneurs for me going into this world,
think you are doing great. I mean, you ask the right questions. And the only, be yourself.
Yes.
That took me a long time, Gladys, if I'm 100% honest with you. Because I always felt like starting out, you had to be proper. You know what I mean? Like, but in a good way,
right?
In a professional way,
yes.
You know, and so I always felt like I was, you know, kind of like, you know, in a box in a way. But I knew I like to joke around, laugh, tell jokes, and so I felt like when I was at an assignment, I couldn't do that. But then, you know, as time went on, I remember I was talking to a state trooper just out of curiosity. I just asked him, I said, so when you pull somebody over, I mean, is that it? You just write them a ticket and you send them on your way. He's like, I'm not a robot. It's like, I converse with them. I ask them how their day is going.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, you know what? I need to do that.
Yes.
So
that state trooper helped you figure out it was okay to be you.
Be me. Yeah.
In a personable,
in a personable way. Yeah. You just don't go in there and you just have like these questions in mind and be like, this is what I'm going to ask him. This is this. And that's it.
Yeah.
No, I like to be personable. I think, you know what my interviewing style is.
Yes, most definitely.
And so how do I make you feel? Or
I've always felt like I'm speaking to a friend. Therefore, I feel comfortable and I feel like I'm able to tell you how I truly feel in regards to whatever topic it is that we're talking about. So I've always had that feeling with you that as soon as you reached out, I knew that I could connect with you and we could, you know, become friends or at least be part of the same network of figuring out how to help and support each other out. So I've always seen that in you. I've always seen warmth when I see you and your reporting, because there's true care in regards to how you do your work and your community that you're reporting on, because they're true stories. They're real people. And you can see that through your reporting as you talk about your community and the people that you're representing.
Absolutely. And if there's any advice I can give anyone that is trying to pursue this, this career, or get into the industry, is just be yourself, be authentic.
That's awesome. I had this conversation with my mom and she's going to be mad at me because I'm bringing it up yesterday. She's like, Gladys, stop laughing too much on your show. You know, you have to be serious. You have to be able to tell people the real stuff. And I know, you know, that I've been trying to tell the news in Espanol because we need it. In some communities, we have a large population of Spanish speaking individuals. So it's really important for us to get our news. But I mess up like all the time. But then I laugh, you know, and then I'm back. And then I speak to the camera like I'm speaking to somebody, a friend, you know, and then I'm saying, it's okay. We got it. We're going to get through this. And then I continue with the news. So it took me a long time to get to that point because I always thought you have to be proper or perfect. There's this perfect idea of who you need to be in front of a camera at all times.
Right.
And I have fought that a lot. And it has been hard because I'm an introvert. And I feel like you seem like an extrovert to some extent. Are you social?
What do you mean by social? Like go out.
Well, extroverts just like to speak, you know, be candid, be social, start conversations. What do you think? Maybe an introvert in the making?
I think I'm more of an introvert.
Introvert.
But then when I'm in my own element, you know, out on the story, like again, you know, I just treat it like I'm going to go talk to somebody.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes any sense.
It does. I think so. I feel when I feel safe, I feel more open. I feel more able to be able to chismosear or gossip or talk and feel like an extrovert. But then when I feel like it's too much, then I shut down a little bit or I stay in my own cocoon. So I think so. I think it makes sense. Let's talk. The podcast is called Courageous Mujer. And you're here because I believe you're courageous. I believe that every day that you stand and go tell stories, I believe that you've been here, you know, for a long time and you've cared for a lot of stories that I know I've been working on. Every day, I think that you make a step to be courageous. But if you can share, and if you're willing to, sometimes when you face that fear, because courage doesn't come without fear, but if you have this fear of something, maybe a story you were saying, you know, sharing, or maybe within your personal life of how you feel. Can you share a little bit about how courage came about, how you didn't let fear overcome you?
I think, you know, in this industry, in this job, I think, you know, just, you know, doing what I do takes courage,
right?
It does. You know, like for example, yesterday's tough assignment, you know, it takes courage to talk to people, whether they are having their best day or the worst day of their life. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It also takes courage, you know, to, again, you know, talk to people, like the voiceless. That takes courage.
Can you dig in? Can you share a specific story if you can, or a personal story? What did fear look like? You know what I'm saying? For me, fear looks like this because I never thought I would be in front of a camera. I never thought I would be in front of a mic. And every time I step out of my comfort zone, it's like, whoa, can I do this? Can I pull through? Can I go ahead and do this? Or, it also, you know, like, disclosing an immigration status or being, front and center, you know, you met me when we were talking a little bit about health equity throughout the state. And, that was hard because sometimes, like you said, that voice of the voiceless, and what does that look like? To me, sometimes it looks like, okay, I go out there, but then I say what I need to say because I feel that sometimes our community, like you said, is voiceless. But I feel it in my heart. I, you know, sometimes the fear comes into crying, tears, true emotion as to how are we going to get past this? And then you still push through and get to it and are able to fulfill and build that courage to get through whatever that may be it standing in front of a camera or be it, telling a story that you never thought you would tell, you mm-hmm. know?
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. I think, you know, all of the emotions, you know, are there, mm-hmm. You know, going back to, you know, when the pandemic first hit,
right.
You know, the stories that you and I did together, those were hard stories, Gladys. Mm-hmm. And it was, again, because I see my family in their shoes. Mm-hmm. And trust me, I mean, there were tears. Yeah. You know, and it's something that, you know, the hardest part of the job is trying not to get too emotionally involved. But again, it's hard not to. Yeah, you just gotta push through it.
The story is important enough to push through. Yep. Because you see your family in that imagery and within the other family that you're telling the story in. So what motivates you? You know, you face fear every day. You tell really hard stories. You wake up every morning. What wakes you up in the morning and says, Beatriz, today you need to wake up because X? What motivates you and every day work and fear that you face?
Just waking up and just pushing through, just like thinking, what is my day going to look like? You know, it's always different. Every single day is different because you just don't know what you're going to get yourself into.
Yeah.
Because in all honesty, you can come in and you know, you're going to do this story, but then suddenly something else bigger pops up. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you kind of be on your toes. That's why, you know, I was telling you, I like to run. I did that this morning before we did this podcast. Yeah. Because it just gets me going.
Yeah. So that's a big motivator that you're running.
It is. It absolutely is. It clears my mind. I told you, I woke up this morning. I could not think at all. Mm-hmm. I had like this big old fog in my head. I'm like, okay, I'm like, go out there and run and then, you know, get your brain flowing. Yeah. So, yeah.
And I told you the opposite. I'm like, oh, yesterday I woke up with a fog and I was like, oh, I need to take a nap.
Yeah, I need to get into running.
Yeah. I need to start running a marathon too.
You can do it. You can do it. You know, typically around this time of year, I would be running the half marathon that takes place next week, actually. I'm not doing that this year because, you know, other things took precedence. Mm-hmm. So life got really busy. So, but yeah, I mean, as long as, you know, I can keep running, I'm going to do that.
Very cool. Well, let's talk to our viewers or let's talk to our audience. Our audience is usually, I'm going to say 18 to 35, young Latina women, either very much trying to go to college and or trying to figure out their career. What would you tell them? How would you encourage them to continue, move forward, pass that fear and encourage them in their courage? What's a message that you would like to tell them?
Just keep going. Don't stop. If you have mentors, you know, use them.
Yeah.
But don't quit. You know, there were times, you know, when I was going through college, it's just like, what am I doing? Like you would be awake late at night studying. You're just like, and working on top of that, you know, you just felt like you just couldn't do it, but you can. There is always a light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah.
Always.
That's
and yeah, you are. And the other thing too, that I've learned is that you are stronger than what you think. You know, at that time, you know, you think, oh, I can't get through this, but yeah, you absolutely can.
I love it. I love it. Thank you for that positive message. And I hope that they listen because I am very much relate to those late nights when back then it was a computer lab and it closes at 12 and then you have to get home and then you sometimes you don't even get to eat because you're finishing up a, you know, 10, 15, 20 page paper or a report if you're in college. Or, you know, even if you're working, sometimes you have two jobs, three jobs, kids. Sometimes our experiences are really hard, but you have to push through. You have to keep going. So I 100% agree with your message to our young women listening out there and relating, you know, because that's really, truly what we're hoping for is they understand they're not alone. We've gone through these experiences too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
I think we're closing. I do want to give you space and time to finish up your thoughts or last comments, and then we'll go ahead and close up the podcast.
Oh, are you kidding? I mean, this is great. It's been a long time, you know, since you and I got together. So it's just, you know, nice, you know, to get together, you know, outside of work, you know, outside of what you're doing, outside of what I do, and, you know, just kind of reconnect.
Yes.
So again, you know, congratulations to you and Chris on this podcast.
Gracias. Gracias.
So, and I'm looking forward to, you know, hearing, you know, the other women that you have coming on here in the coming week. So.
Well, next week, Carmen will be on, and then we'll have Dr. Athena Ramos from UNMC out of Omaha, and then Cheryl Mara James, who is a co-founder of the American Bar, Hispanic Bar, Hispanic American Bar Association here in the state of Nebraska. So we're really excited to be able to host and introduce the world to you all, because they may see you, you know, watching the news, pero they don't know Beatriz, you know, and today we get to know Beatriz a little bit more.
Well, hopefully, I mean, is there another duda that you might have, Gladys? This is your chance.
I think we had a good time. I think we had a good chat. We touched a lot of stuff that I think other women can relate to in regards to their stories, college experiences, and youth experiences. And that's, again, our goal, is to be able to celebrate, embrace you as you, who you are, Beatriz Reyna, you know, celebrate you, and encourage others to be able to do what you do, because you can do it too, right?
Absolutely. So absolutely.
I appreciate all of you for joining us. I appreciate you.
Oh, Gladys,
thank you again.
No, gracias a ti.
And,
but before we do leave, I do want to thank my news director, Melanie Standiford, our station manager, Alan Ulrich, and my news director in Lincoln, Michael Lauber, for allowing me to do this. So they were all on board. So I just want to say thank you. Thank you very much for allowing me to do this and allowing, you know, to use this space here. So.
Yes. And giving us a taste, right? And giving everybody a taste of little Beatrices out there seeking the same.
Yeah.
And hopefully potentially coming back to their home communities and doing the same as you do.
You know, and that's the other thing too, Gladys. I know you asked me a couple of days ago, well, before we came on, you know, as to why I stayed here. The more that I stay here, I feel like my community needs me. Mm-hmm. I feel like we are at a crossroads. And I look back at my former classmates who are making a difference in this community. I, you know, can't get involved in issues, mm-hmm. but I always tell people that I speak behind the sound bites. And so that's how I'm giving a voice.
Yes.
And so, and I really think that it takes young people like you, myself, to make a difference in our communities. And I think that is very important. And again, it goes back to, you know, just wanting to help people.
Right.
You've done it in so many ways. My goodness.
Otra vez con tus complimentos.
I'm sorry. I mean, again, you know, it's like, you know, you grew up in Lexington. You're still there doing wonderful things. You know, I'm here.
Yeah.
And I think that's what motivates me too, you know, is just how else can I help my community?
Right. Right. Yeah. And you are, and you're doing it every day, and we're doing it, right? We're doing it every day, and we will continue. And I think that's beautiful. I think North Platte is lucky.
Thank you.
And our area is lucky as well to have you behind those sound bites and giving us a voice.
Thank you. I love Lexington. I do.
Well, thank you. Lexington loves you back.
Thank you. Yeah.
Okay, queridas, this is where we close. Thank you so much for listening at Courageous Mujer Podcast. You can find us in any streaming app of your choice. And we'll see you next week con Carmen. Thank you.